Welcome to The West Steps, a podcast from the Colorado Children's Campaign that explores issues that impact Colorado kids and families. I'm your host, Beza Tedes. We have very special guests today in the studio. Don't work for the Children's Campaign, so that's pretty unique. I'm going to let each of them introduce themselves and tell us where they're from and what they are doing in Denver today. Who wants to start?
I'll start. My name is Anna Rose Craig. I'm 17 years old and I go to Summit High School, which is in Breckenridge, Colorado. So I'm here in Denver today to advocate for more school funding across the state. And specifically, I've chosen to focus on the uniform mill levy bill, which will be coming, not sure when in the coming years, but yeah. I've really been focusing on that and talking to my legislators and other leaders.
Awesome.
Yeah, she went over it pretty well, but I'm Melody. I'm part of the DPS district, so I go to DSST GVR, and I'm a freshman. And I'm also here to advocate for school finances, things of that sort. I'm always in Denver, so don't know how to answer
just,
that one.
You're just home today.
Just home. Yep. And yeah, she covered it pretty well, what we're advocating for.
She covered it pretty well. I'm Karis Tatum from School District 11, Colorado Springs, and I'm here advocating for more equitable funding in education. She did everything else.
You set the tone for everybody. So you all kind of are in different parts of the state. Can you talk about, each of you maybe talk about your experiences in your school district and what the financial constraints of the school finance formula means for your education, that you now hear advocating for an issue that adults should be fixing, to be honest.
So I come from a ski resort community, so mountain community, and we face a lot of actually pretty unique issues. And one of the things that I have focused a lot on in the last 4 years at my school is our lack of resources for a lot of different things. Specifically, mountain communities face higher rates of suicide and substance use and mental health issues. And my school lacks the resources to adequately help students to cope with what they're going through. And so that's something that's really personal to me that I see in our lack of school funding. And where I come from is also a pretty privileged district, and we do have a higher amount of money that is allocated for each student. But we're still facing a lot of these issues that other places are facing. I think it's important for me to, like, recognize my privilege and where I come from, but also that I don't think I deserve any more resources or a better education than anyone else in the state.
That's pretty good. as I said earlier, I'm part of DPS, and in the far northeast, there's not any schools above a green grade other than ours. We're the only blue ribbon school, but everybody else is reds. And we come from a location that is 40% Hispanic, 20% Black, and only like 3% Caucasian. And yet 100% of our teachers are Caucasian. So the biggest problem with our district in particular is that there's not a representative who can relate to the kids, and that they're pretty like knowledgeable, but there's just a certain level that you just can't get to if you don't have that experience. And there's like the mental issues and stuff that are in connection to race, but that's just my biggest issue in our district.
As far as problems, I couldn't point out many for our district. I mean, there are systemic problems like with every district, I would say. I mean, we have a pretty responsive superintendent for our district, and so like we're really happy about that. But I'd say one thing that we can definitely focus on a lot more is mental health. So in El Paso County, the suicide rate is really high. I mean, in Colorado by itself, it's already pretty high. And so just the other day, we had a mental health conference for all of the grades. And people were just students were on a panel talking about how suicide has impacted their life and like what to do if you have a friend in that situation or if you know somebody experiencing stuff like that, like self-harming or being bullied or being harmed. And I think just a lot more money can go towards things of that sort. And so I wouldn't necessarily say that there's too many systemic things that we can focus on, but as far as creating a culture of wellness at our school, and I feel like money would help a lot with that. And then also, like, a big thing that our CYC group at my school is doing is advocating for more student-centered learning within the classroom. So it's like, instead of the teacher being the teacher, they're more so like the facilitator of learning rather than like the orator of the information.
Mm-hmm. So you all talked about really large systemic problems, mm-hmm. anything from resource allocation to mental health support. Usually when adults talk about those things, they're like very far away, very removed. What does that mean for you personally? How has that impacted your education and your friends' education?
I always say, like, you know, people say experience is the best teacher, and I say perception is the best teacher. Like, if you look at it from someone else's, you know, point of view, you can go about solving that problem more effectively. So, mm-hmm. like, for parents and other educators, administration, since they're not directly attached to certain things that happen in the school, they can't really help.
Yeah.
And so it feels like we're on the outside of that in mm-hmm. a way. Like, mm-hmm. they're like, okay, well, we'll fix it for you, but it's not like a co-design kind of process.
You're not working in a team.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say I agree with that. I think, like, as students, these are the things that directly affect us. And it's honestly pretty rare for an adult to, like you are right now, to take the time to sit and talk to us about it and listen to us. I think that's where, like, we're so disconnected as far as generations. And, like, we deserve to have our voices heard. And I'm sure there's plenty of adults and leaders that want to help us. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of, like, taking the time to, like, understand and, like Tara said, to, like, use perspective, basically, to understand where we're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And you hit on it earlier, but with the generation thing, it's so easy to perceive kids as naive mm-hmm. when we're already going through, so especially our generation with technology, with mental health. It's so in our face
mm-hmm.
that it's just important to realize that we're humans and what we're going through is valid, or just as is what you are. Mm-hmm. So kind of humanizing the whole situation.
Mm-hmm. We've heard over the past couple of years about the mental health crisis in schools. From where each of you sit, can you talk about some of the things that you see are working that adults can invest in, where legislators can put money towards? What are the solutions that you have seen that actually work? Anything from what you talked about, listening to kids and saying, you know, you hold experiences that are unique to you and they're valid, and how can we support you in that? What are some things that you've seen in your communities that have worked but are not getting enough attention because adults are not listening?
Well, at my school, we have a wellness design team. It's something that a psychology teacher and counselors and a bunch of students came together to create. And the other day, actually, I'm thinking like the beginning of November, if I remember correctly, we mm-hmm. hosted an event, a community event where people came in and similar to what the student panel was about, we were just telling them, okay, here are the resources that you have if you see that your child is in a crisis, or like, how big is this issue?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because most of the time it's just talking about it. Like, getting rid of the stigma is just to bring it up
mm-hmm.
most of the time. And so I feel like our group has been like a big push at our school. And we have a very supportive administrator too.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps a lot. And as far as like funding that team to be more large scale, I definitely feel like legislators can help with that. I mean, if the equitable funding thing actually follows through, it'll definitely help funnel money towards something like that.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that we were thinking about doing is advisory boards.
Mm-hmm.
So a teacher has these select few students all through high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so like it's like if you have any issues going on in your life, you can consult with these people that you know and have known for a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it helps with the effectiveness of, you know, getting rid of suicide.
That's awesome.
I would say, I mean, there's a couple of different things that come to mind. We have an organization called Building Hope in Summit County, which is our, it's a nonprofit that focuses on mental health and raising awareness. So a lot of things that they're doing are pretty effective, I would say. It's just that no one really knows about it, and it's entirely funded by private donors. So it's none of the money is coming from the government.
Mm-hmm.
They have like mental health navigation trainings, which is like 2 hours where you basically learn about all of these different mental health issues and how to navigate them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really useful. And also I just held a fundraiser at my school for, mental health. It was like a trivia night.
Mm-hmm.
So basically all we did there, we had like Jeopardy and then a bunch of board games and different.
That sounds so much fun.
Yeah. So we just like talked about like mental health in a pretty casual environment. And I basically forced everyone that was there to like be vulnerable. Which I think is a pretty powerful thing in, like, bringing people together.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a really hard question, in particular to my situation, because we don't have any organizations, groups. We have a psychiatrist that comes every Thursday. So it's really hard to kind of speak to that. Mm-hmm. But the most vulnerable, most powerful thing that's ever happened in my case is we do this thing where we separate the girls and boys, which I guess is problematic in its sense. But anyways, we come into groups and we talk about things that are happening in our lives. And one of my classmates was like, I recently had my coach commit suicide. And I guess it was such a vulnerable experience. Mm-hmm. It's not the sense of that, like, legislators need to put more money into it. It's just that human contact that we need to have the chance to have, mm-hmm. and not jam packed with classes, mm-hmm. just a time to break down as humans. And all of the girls ended up crying in the end of that. And I'm tearing up right now because just thinking about it is so vulnerable. Yeah. Maybe just kind of like poking that human experience aspect instead of maybe like having a class or a formal thing for it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I know that you guys spend the morning talking to legislators. And I would love it if you guys can talk a little bit about what that experience was like, and if you got something out of it that you weren't expecting.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. So it was kind of hectic. We talked about it earlier, mm-hmm. that we kind of had to walk with them and it was a lot of rushing. And so it was kind of hard to communicate with them, which is a problem in itself that we can't communicate with our legislators. But something I wasn't expecting was, I don't have her contact right now, but a representative that I was talking to, McLaughlin. Yeah, I got to talk to her. She was really dope. And I also got to talk to George Welsh, who mm-hmm. had a different opinion from ours. Mm-hmm. And so it was unexpected to see such a different, like, two opposing sides. But mm-hmm. I also understood both points, mm-hmm. and the fact that they're also human. And it was just a humanizing moment. I talk about humanizing a lot today.
I mean, but we do miss it a lot. And it's left in a lot of conversation. So
that's why we talk to kids. Yeah. We're not jaded yet.
Yeah, exactly. Not jaded yet.
I've never like spoken to a politician, like, really, or like at least at the state level. So this morning I spoke to my senator, Bob Rankin, I believe is his name.
Yeah, that's great.
So yeah, it was really cool to talk to him. It's kind of like, I mean, he didn't like give me the response that I wanted, mm-hmm. but like, you know, I can't expect that of him.
Yeah.
He really put some things into perspective with the fact that the districts that he represents don't support the uniform mill levy bill, mm-hmm. because it means that they'll be taxed more.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was kind of, you know, I was just intrigued to hear what he thought about it. And mm-hmm. he was very honest with me, and I thought that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then I spoke to the same people that Melody did. So one thing that surprised me, I would say, is like, and I don't want to be like overly negative when I say this,
okay.
but that the system does seem like pretty broken in mm-hmm. a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. And I think like that was something that just like hit me really hard this morning, was just like realizing that there are a lot of things that I believe that need to be changed. So it's kind of like overwhelming, but it was a really good learning experience.
Yeah. And I think one thing to realize is like most people would have looked at where you were this morning and they would have checked out.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you were still engaged and talking about it is doing more than half the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why systems change is always harder than it sounds.
Yeah.
From the outside, it sounds really cool. And the moment you actually look at what's broken, it's deeply overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
But also, we put systems up so we can change them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are not given to us by God or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I think, I guess one last question I have for you guys is, usually people tend to stay away from talking to legislators. They stay away from getting involved. People always say, you know, I'm not a politics person.
I heard that.
And I just want to break down, you know, how you guys got involved and what advice you have for people who think that policy and politics doesn't affect their lives, and how you would like to invite them into the conversation.
And you want me to go first? Okay.
Melody's on a roll.
Well, if you think about democracy and politics in general, it's the power of the people. Mm-hmm. And if you don't acknowledge that and if you don't use your power, then you're having millionaires dictate your life. Mm-hmm. And that in itself, like, should motivate you. But even if you're, if it doesn't, just know that. And I talked about this with McLaughlin. Mm-hmm. Don't know how to say your last name right. Anyway, right. I keep talking about her, but she's really cool. And the fact that there needs to be transparency and accessibility, and it needs to be broken down in simple terms so mm-hmm. these big ideas and politics can be understood by kids.
Yeah.
Like, it should be like that. So yeah. the masses know,
yeah.
but it's just not. And even our representatives kind of are, make, is hard to explain to other people because of how broken it is. And, mm-hmm. and they may believe one thing, but they can't act on it because
yeah.
the policies don't allow them to.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think, like, for me, I've been passionate about, like, speaking out for as long as I can remember. But I didn't really ever imagine I'd be at the state capitol speaking to my legislators. I think, like, I can't even really explain why I think it's important to be involved. I just think that every person, like, should take advantage of the fact that this is a democracy and this is a society in which we can speak out and protest and, like, make waves for things that we care about, basically. And I can't really understand why anyone wouldn't want to do that. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's just so important and vital for, like, our generation and everyone that's, like, coming after us. Like, mm-hmm. we need to set an example. And frankly, like, we have an opportunity to change some of these broken systems. So I think we should take advantage of that.
Awesome. I just want to say thank you so much for sitting down and explaining your experiences and inviting other people who may have not have been jaded and who may have looked at the system and said, it's too broken. There's nothing I can do. The fact that you guys are willing to fight for what you believe in is really inspiring. So thank you so much. And you're always welcome to on the West Step to talk about whatever issues that you feel is important to you. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
I have one of my colleagues to help me with some ads, previous guests of the West Steps. Steph.
That's me.
Who's our sponsor this week?
Support for this episode is provided by Effect, a Denver-based digital agency that helps campaigns win elections. Effect supports outstanding candidates and initiatives that are focused on winning their election in order to positively transform communities. Learn more at EFFCT.org.
You want to say that last part again? Where can people go?
EFFCT.org.
That's effect.org. Thank you, Steph.
Thank you.
The West Steps is a production of the Colorado Children's Campaign. To support our work, please visit coloradokids.org. And I'll see you next week.